All right, good morning to you again. Oh, thank you, Sister Molly. When you're singing that song, you can just feel the arms of Jesus wrapping you up and holding on to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to open your Bibles to, I think we're going to go to, open your Bibles to Mark. Mark chapter 12. Go to Mark chapter 12. And while you're doing that, I want to read a verse to you. This just touches my heart. I said a little something about this in college the other day. And I want to read a verse to you out of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says this: "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And then over in chapter 4, he says this in verse 1: "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." Oh, I just love the Apostle Paul and the mindset that the Apostle Paul had. And I wished I could have that same mindset. I would like to think that I would if I was in the situation that Paul was, but I have a lot of doubts about that. And sadly, I think we should all be that way. We should all have that mindset as Christians, but unfortunately we don't, do we? But no matter what, where Paul was, no matter what his condition was, Paul had an understanding that everything that was going on in his life, God allowed. You know, and that's the understanding that we need to have as individuals. We need to understand that everything in our life is God has allowed to be there. And sometimes those things aren't pleasant. Sometimes they're bad. But I always look back to the Apostle Paul, and you look back at him being a Pharisee and all the things that the Apostle Paul went through in his earlier life, the way that he was raised and the things that he did, you know, he needed that in order to be the apostle that God needed him to be later in life. So all the bad things that he went through. And so sometimes in our life, there's some things that we don't want to deal with, but God allows to be there because it's part of our growing. It's part of our training. But we have to have the proper mindset, especially when we get to the point that we are now in our lives, being Christians that we are. We should have more of a mindset like Paul's got. We should be thankful and content no matter what condition that we're in. But we're not. We're spoiled. You know, we want everything our way. I'm guilty. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. I'm guilty. You know, when I get home, I want the air conditioner on, you know. You know, if it's hot, I want the heater on, you know. And I like to have something to eat when my belly gets hungry. And as you can see, I haven't missed too many meals, right? Amen. I mean, you know, but we're spoiled and we're all that way. And that rolls over into our everyday life, not just our needs. You know, we can say, well, you know, we all like for it to be cool. We turn the television on, we see the weather up north. We like, thank God we're in Florida. You know, I had AC on yesterday instead of the heat, right? And we're all spoiled like that. But at the same time, if things aren't going our way, we should be thankful for what we have anyhow. We should always be thankful because we've got one thing the world don't have: Jesus. Amen. Hey, we're born again believers. We're saved. We've been taken out of this old world. This is not our home anymore. This is just a place that we're residing, right? We're passing through like pilgrims, according to the scripture. Our home's in heaven. But it's so sad that we forget that. I mean, look around you this morning. These walls should be packed full of people. We should be packed. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning, because the way we live our lives that we have the problems that we have in the world. So now you're at Mark, right? I want to read Mark chapter 12. I want to read a verse to you. And this has been our theme verse in Senior Patriots for the year. Mark 12 and verse 30. We go over this verse every week, and I thank God for it because I learn something new every single week. Folks, if you'll pick your Bible up and just read it, God will bless you. And you can read the same chapter, the same book, and the same verses every day and get something new out of it. You'll learn and you'll learn and you'll learn and you'll learn and you'll grow. Our problem is we don't do that. If we did, we'd all be much better Christians. We would have a mindset like Paul had. But we're not doing that, and that's why we don't have that mindset that Paul had. Amen? We're not as close to God as we ought to be as Christians. But let's read the verse. It says in, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Now listen to this. This is the first commandment. When we think of the commandments, we always think of the Big Ten. This never crosses our mind, but this is the first commandment. And then look at the next verse. Look at verse 31. It says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That's coming from our Lord God. There's none other commandment greater than these. The second one, we don't even want to talk about. We don't even want to discuss it. I mean, as Christians, we don't want to talk about it. We want to take that commandment, throw it under the rug, sweep it underneath there, cover it up, and forget it exists. And there's a reason for that. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Because our churches are suffering today because of us. Not because of the outside world. It's because of us. It's because of what we allow to take place in our homes, in our lives, and in our churches. And that's why we're suffering as bad as we're suffering. So with that being said, talking about thy neighbor. Now, you and I are supposed to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, when we speak of a neighbor, there's normally about three things that comes to mind. The first one would be time. Usually if you see your neighbor coming across the yard, you know it's going to involve your time. Because he's wanting something from you, right? That's pretty much the way it is. And if it's not time, it's going to be money. We don't want to give that up. And then the third thing would be property, right? They want to borrow something. You ever had a neighbor want to borrow something? Well, this is what happens. If we loan it, it never comes back. So I don't want to loan it. Or if it does come back, it comes back broke. Isn't that the way it is? That's the truth of it. Now maybe you got better neighbors than I got. You know, maybe your stuff comes back or comes back unharmed, or if they break it, they replace it. But normally that's not what happens. And when it comes to our money, I mean, I don't know about you, but I work hard for my money. I don't want to give my money to my neighbor, do you? No, we don't want to give it away. We want to keep it in our pocket, right? That's our attitudes. You know, now, I know I'm not talking to everybody. I know some people that give their shirt off their back to their neighbor. But the majority of us, and then when we think about the time part, I don't know about you, but I have very little time when I get home. So I don't want to share my time with my neighbors, do you? I want to take my time and do what I want to do with it. I've only got an hour. So I want to do what I need to get done around the house or things that I want to do. I certainly don't want to spend it on my neighbor, right? See, that's our attitude. So that's why we take this commandment and sweep it under the rug. Because, see, I don't want to be nasty to my neighbor. I don't want to be a tightwad with my money, but I don't want to give it away, right? So that's where we're at in life. Now, what am I saying? I'm not saying that we just take and just throw everything away. I'm not saying that. But God says, this is the number one commandments. These two right here are the number one commandments. So I want you to think about that. If we took the first commandment and applied it to our lives, it would make the second commandment a little easier. And then when you think about your neighbor, who is your neighbor? It's not just the guy that lives next to you, right? The neighbor is anybody in need, isn't it? That's who our neighbor is. So when we look at that, why do we have such a poor community a lot of times? Because if we were helping their neighbors. I mean, there's some people who just have millions and millions and millions of dollars. They can help a lot of neighbors and never miss the money. But it's because we don't want to adhere to the things of God. It's because of our mindset. I don't want to give my money away. Because I'm greedy in a sense that I want to take my money and apply it to things that I want. Maybe I want a newer car. I might not need it, but maybe I want it. So that's where we're at in life. And we don't want to talk about that. You know, a lot of people, you get up here and you try to raise money for the Restore-a-thon. And some people, they'll walk out the building mad. All them people ever wants money. Every time I go in there, they want money for something. If it's not Restore-a-thon, it's for the missionaries. If it's not the missionaries, they're wanting to put on a new roof. If it's not the roof, it's always it's a book. It's a song book. It's always something in it. Isn't that so? Isn't that sad? My wife said something to me one time, and I never, ever forgot it. I don't give women this much credit very often, but she said something. And this is what she said. She today's her birthday, too. I didn't tell you that, though, right? She's 39. I heard her say that yesterday. She's 39, amen? But she told me one time, she says, well, you know, thank God that you've got it to give. Amen. Amen. I thought about that. And you know, that has bugged me since that day. So I've never complained ever about giving anything to anybody since then. Because she's right. I have because my God loves me. Amen. Every dollar in my wallet belongs to my God. Amen. Everything that I own belongs to my God. My health belongs to my God. And I should be thankful for everything that my God has given me, and I need to remember that it's not mine. You understand, even our children do not belong to us. They're His. They're His. He loans them to us. We should be thankful for the amount of time that we've got them, and we have a job to do, and our job is to do what? Raise those children to love the Lord. And that's where we fail. Folks, just like our money, just like our time, and just like anything that we have in life, our mindset is not like the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul was locked up in prison and didn't even have a jacket to put on, cold, didn't have food. But he didn't complain. What did Paul say? He thanked his God, the prisoner. He said, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. You understand, Paul didn't even give the Romans the satisfaction of locking him in the cell. Paul took that away from them. Paul said, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus. He took away that. Paul let them know, I'm not here because you put me here. I'm here because my God put me here. And today, we know why. We have the book, don't we? How many books did the Apostle Paul write? I mean, we've got books to read. We've got examples of how we're to lead our lives and live our lives because Paul was confined. Now, Paul didn't understand why he was confined at the time. He didn't understand all of it. He didn't need to. He only needed to know one thing. Love God. Trust God with his life. And that's what Paul did. He trusted God with every aspect of his life. Do you understand today that if you and I did that very same thing, just trust God, and if we would just obey one commandment, one, that's not complicated, just one commandment, that's the number one commandment, is to love the Lord thy God. If we would obey the one commandment, and I might say this 20 times before we're done this morning, but if we obeyed one commandment, everything in our lives would be honky-dory. I do not have to worry about any other commandment in the book. I don't have to worry about lying. I don't have to worry about stealing. I don't have to worry about being covetous. I don't have to worry about any of those commandments because I obeyed the number one commandment. Because when we obey the number one commandment, our mindset is set where? In heaven with Christ. Our mindset, we would have the mindset like Paul had. We wouldn't be worried about when our neighbor needed a pair of shoes. If I need a pair of shoes tomorrow and I got holes in my shoes, I'm probably going to go buy me a pair of shoes. I have the ability to do that, and I can thank my God for that. But what about my neighbor? Maybe my neighbor doesn't have that ability for whatever reason. You know, maybe his wife's a drunkard. Turned that around on you, didn't I? Yeah. But I'm just saying, okay, so she's a drunkard. So do we hate them because she has a sin problem? Or do we do like Christ did? You see, I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I had a sin problem. Amen? And Jesus saved me out of that sin problem. Took that away from me. Well, folks, our neighbors have the same sin problems. And it's our love sometimes that brings them to God. God gave it to me. Does it hurt me to share what he gave me? We act like sometimes that, well, I can't give this away because then I won't have any more. No, I've never seen it that way. I can give it away, and I usually end up with more than I had to give to start with. God blesses that. He blesses our love, and we act like we don't trust God. And if you think we don't trust God, turn the television on and see what's going on, or walk out here. I'm going to tell you right now, I hate to even say anything about it because I guess my blood boiling, my blood pressure goes up. But you go uptown, there is no mask mandate in Florida. None. But you can go uptown and there's more people wearing a mask now than it was when we had a mask mandate. Now, are those people trusting and loving God? Come on. And there's only one place now that you can really, really catch COVID. You know where that is? Church house. Yeah. Don't go to church because you might get COVID. You can go to Walmart. Walmart don't have COVID. You cannot get COVID at Walmart as long as you got your mask on. Can't get COVID. That's the stupidity of the world right now. But how many Christians are in that same trap? My wife came home yesterday. No, yesterday, Saturday. Friday. She came home Friday evening. They have to wear a mask in school. She's a school teacher. And you have to wear a mask. Not an option. You got to wear a mask. So she comes home and she came in the house and she, like that. I said, oh, you got COVID. She says, impossible. I wear a mask. And I didn't say anything else. She got a point there, right? I mean, that's the way the world perceives it. You can't get COVID as long as you got a mask, unless you're in church. If you go to church, you'll get COVID. Guaranteed. That's what they're going to tell you. Folks, that's the devil in the world. That's man. That's the sin nature of man. And all this thing, everything that's going on is to draw you away from God. You know the cure for that? There's a simple cure. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord thy God. If we would just obey that commandment, when all this pandemic took place, where would everybody have ran to? They'd have run to the church house. They'd have got on their knees before God and begged for God's mercy. And they'd have begged for God to forgive them of their sin. Lord, what have I done in my life to upset you enough to bring this upon our people? See, that's where we should have been. That's where we ought to be today. We should be on our faces before our God, humbling ourselves. And then this second verse right here, the second number one commandment here, wouldn't be so hard. Folks, if we had the proper mindset, we wouldn't mind giving of our time. What did Jesus give us? He gave us his life. He gave his life that you and I could have eternal life. See, we forget that, don't we? It's so easy to forget that. We forget that. What did he have? Worldly possessions, what did he have? Nothing. Do you understand that he had no need of them? Do you understand? He knows what heaven is. He knows that there's nothing here on this earth worth having for it. You know, he didn't want it. He's got something better at home. And you understand that's the same mindset we ought to have. We've got something better at home. We're just passing through here. And on our journey through here, we should be focused on one thing. Our neighbors. What is the best way to reach your neighbor? Your neighbor's dying and going to hell if you don't know Jesus. And most of us don't even know our neighbor's name. Most of us don't know whether or not our neighbor's going to heaven. We don't know whether they're going to hell. And don't care for the most part. That's the way we act as Christians. We should know our neighbors. We should be helping them take care of their needs. We're Christians, which means, what does it mean to be Christian? Christ-like. We're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be seeking the things of Christ. We're supposed to be seeking the mind of Christ. But do we do that? Turn over with me. Go over to Philippians in chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple of verses here to you. I'm going to go ahead and start reading as you're turning. Chapter 2 in verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy. In verse 2, he says, fulfill ye my joy. Now, what's he saying? He's saying right here, if you have any of these things in the Lord Jesus, if you have any of these things, fulfill ye my joy. How do we do that? By doing what Paul was doing. That's how we fulfill ye his joy, doing what he was doing. And then he goes on to say that ye be what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. In other words, every one of us in here as brothers and sisters ought to have one mind, and that would be the mind of Christ. We're all supposed to be seeking the mind of Christ. But folks, this is what happens. Now listen to me, because this is important. Because this is what we do as people. This is what we do as believers and as those who love Jesus. This is what we do. We can have a stranger walk in here, and they might be, let's just say they're wearing shorts and flip-flops. You know, we don't like that. Why? We're in God's house. Not that we care what they're wearing, but we're in God's house. And to us, this is a special place. It's God's house. That's why we put on these silly ties and jackets and all that. That's why the ladies get dressed up in dresses, to honor our God. That's why we do it. It's not because I'm trying to look better than Joe. No. I personally don't even like the ties. We do it because we want to honor our God. A stranger comes in, they don't have that like-mindedness. They don't understand what we do. But this is what we do. You see that guy over there wearing them shorts? Man, what a heathen. That's what we do. Did you see how short that woman's dress was? Yeah, that's what we do. And how many times do they hear us because we whispered that just loud enough for them to hear us? We want to be the Christian police. That's what we do. That's not what Jesus did. And we're supposed to have the same mind, seeking the same mind as the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be like-minded, one mind and one accord. In other words, we're all going the same direction. We all have the same goal. And what is our goal should be this morning? Our goal this morning should be that if anybody in this room is on their way to hell, that they get saved before they leave this building. That should be our goal this morning. No matter who we are, no matter how we're dressed. And when they come in that door, we should thank God that they're here, that they can get the gospel. What if a drunkard walk in, or a dope head, a drug addict? I'll tell you right now, I'll thank God for them. Because I can't think of a better place for a drunk to be than in God's house. He's a drunkard because there's a reason. Most of the time, they're trying to get rid of their troubles. You and I know that Jesus can do that, that alcohol can't. So rather than pushing them out of the church house, we should welcome them in and try to get the gospel to them. That's being like-minded and one accord. But this is what we do as people. Take a chair. Take this pulpit right here. If I had a person on that side and they're pushing it this way and I'm on this side and I'm pushing it this way, how far are we going to go? We're not going very far, are we? But if we both got on the same side and pushed, we could go a long ways. You understand that's what Paul's telling us right here? That if we're all in the same mind, in the same accord, all going one direction, the way of God and the things of Christ, we can do great and mighty things for God. We don't do that. We can't even do that in our homes today. I turned the television on yesterday evening, and there was a program on, and for the life of me, I couldn't tell you the name of it. But, and it was on the TV antenna, okay? I don't have cable. It was on the TV antenna. So it's probably from the 70s or something like that, or maybe the early 80s. I don't know, somewhere along in there. Some kind of a sitcom. And it literally sickens you to watch it. They were sitting around the supper table. Now get this now. They were sitting around a supper table. They had a young teenage child there, I'd say 12, 13. and his brother sitting across from him, maybe 20, and he threw mashed potatoes at him. The little one threw them at the bigger one, just slung them at him, bap. And his mother says, "We don't do that at the table." That's it. Then a few minutes later, he done something else, and he jumps up and runs down the hall, and she just hollers, "We don't do that." Yeah, right. If that had been me, or oh, my soul, my daddy would have knocked me down that hallway. Amen. You know, but I'm watching this, and I'm like, what are you teaching your children by allowing them to watch that? You understand what was being taught there, right? That the child can disrespect the parent, and it's okay. That's what they were teaching. Now, think about this. How many years has this been going on the television, and we're allowing our children to watch this? And then we can't understand why the children are the way they are today. They're that way today because we didn't obey this number one commandment. See, the more I study this, the more I realize that everything in our life is covered under this one commandment. Everything. Every aspect of our life. Because if I'm obeying this commandment and I'm doing everything in my life that God wants me to do, do you realize every decision that I make in my life would be based biblically? Everything. From what I watch, where I go, what I eat, the things I say, everything that I do in my life would be biblically based. Everything. How many decisions? I can look back and I can think of a lot of decisions that I made that were not correct because I didn't obey this commandment. If I had been obeying this commandment, those decisions would have been different. My children would have been raised differently. And it's nobody's fault but mine. You know, I can do this. I can point the finger at the schoolhouse, say it's the school's fault. No, it's not the school's responsibility to raise your children. They're your children. It's your responsibility to raise them, not the school. Well, how about the church? I send them to Sunday school. It's not their place. It's your place as parents. It's our place as grandparents. Do you understand that responsibility does not stop when our children get grown? You know, as grandparents, we still have responsibilities. I can't tell you the number of times I see grandparents let their grandchildren or let them do something that they shouldn't be doing, or they'll, instead of coming to church on Sunday, they'll say, "Well, my grandchild's down. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to Disney World." Now, what are you teaching your grandchild? What you should be doing is saying, "No, tomorrow's Sunday, I'm going to the Lord's house. You can come with me, or I'll see you when I get back." "Yeah, but we're leaving tomorrow." "But then I'll see you next time you visit." See, we need to take a stand, but we don't do that. We bend and we allow things. But see, we're not obeying His commandment when we do that. And that's what's wrong in our lives. That's why we have so many complications and so many problems. And the more I study this, it just dawned on me. I'm like, you know, everything in my life, everything would be taken care of if I obey this one simple commandment. Love the Lord thy God with everything that we've got. Brother Parsons was talking about the other night, being on the football field. He was talking about his strength. He wanted to hit that guy so hard, he knocked him right out of his shoes on the football field, right? That's what his plan was. That's strength. You understand that we would apply that strength into obeying God, how far we could go? Yeah, how many times have you heard somebody say, "Well, but that woman, boy, she's tough. That's a tough woman. She takes on a lot." Well, how about we apply that same toughness, that same strength to obeying God? See, if we did that, and with our mind, and with our heart, what's our heart? When we're talking about a heart, we're talking about the ability to love something, aren't we? That's our inner being that we love with, and the feelings and our affections. If we give all that to God, and if we give our strength to God, and we give our mind, that's our ability to think, if we was to give all of that to God, and we loved Him with all of this, everything that we have. See, there's nothing left to mess up. There's nothing left for us to destroy. But we don't do that. And by not doing that, we allow all these complications into our lives. Now, folks, I'm not saying that because we obey God, we're not going to have problems. But the way we address those problems will be different. That's where the change is going to come in. Is cancer still going to be in the world? Yep. Is COVID still going to be in the world? Yep. But the way we deal with it would be different. And that's what's going to make the difference. We have the promises of God. We just need to grab a hold to them, hang on to them, and practice them. And we can be better people and better Christians, which make us better warriors for the Lord. And folks, God knows we need it today. The world's in such bad shape. So many people. And I don't know about you, but I believe the trumpet's fixing to sound. Amen? So we need to take as many people to heaven as we can. All right? We're out of time. My brother, what we got? All right, 7:65 in Sunday school this morning. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to take just a few-minute break here, and we'll come back and have the preaching service.